edition of the Frotcast is here. This is your I'm riding my Jew motorcycle right into your eardrums. This is Ben. We have blogger extraordinaire Vincent.
That is me.
And we have retired NFL superstar Brendan.
Nerds.
Yeah, fuck those nerds up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to get out there that today Steven Jobs died. And I was just thinking, you know, he's actually influenced my life probably more than anyone else, any other famous people that ever die.
He's soaring through the stars with the space unicorn.
Yeah,
now,
he's up there.
So now next they're going to have to go back to an iPhone 3G. And then, like, the iPhone is going to be uninvented somehow. So
well, it's just going to have, like, a crank on it and,
yeah,
like, an extendable antenna.
It is too bad because there's few people like that that truly influence technology and things that we use.
I was thinking,
we all have iPhones, so maybe send a text that on your iPhone for Steve Jobs.
What are you doing?
I saw Joe text you a picture, so I wanted to see it.
Joe King and Vince.
What is that, Bow Wow?
Yeah, the caption said beef riding.
I don't know who that other guy is.
Tonight, we might talk about Real Steel, since Vince saw it. Vince saw Robot Boxing.
Oh.
We might get Laramie on. We definitely will have Burnsy's Corner with Mayor Burnsy. And we're going to read some of your emails. And other stuff, I'm sure, is going to happen.
I was thinking with Steve Jobs. Well, first of all, it's sad when you can invent a lot of stuff and you still die from cancer when you're 56. That pretty much blows.
Yeah, well, not only do you invent a lot of stuff, but you have basically an unlimited amount of money.
Yeah.
And you can't beat it. I mean, it's too bad it just wasn't AIDS or something. Look at Magic Johnson.
I know.
He just...
Cancer does not take cash or credit.
AIDS does, though.
Yeah.
AIDS takes cash right up the JJ.
Typical. But yeah, I was thinking when I'm old enough to have a pacemaker, I wonder if they could just integrate an iPod into it, or if they're just going to sew it under there and you could, you know, listen to music sometimes.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Just play through
That'd
your body.
Cool.
Does it play through your body, or you can hear it in some sort of...
Well, maybe it could sync your heart up to the beat.
Okay. Yeah. And then you're just partying.
Yeah, basically.
All right. I'm with that. Vince, did you want to start off with some emails?
I do, yeah. That's why I was leaning over here to read some emails.
Thanks, everyone, for sending emails. Frotcast@gmail.com.
We had a couple emails from girls. Actually, we had one email from a girl.
Well, I don't believe you.
I would need that verified.
And I thought we had... two, but then I realized it was just a dude with a girl's name like Burnsy.
I would need that email notarized to believe that it's truly a female.
Well, her name's Molly, so.
His name's Molly.
I don't know. I don't know if you could do Molly with two E's as a dude.
I don't know. I'm just putting it out there.
Maybe if you're like a huge black dude that plays football.
Burnsy commented on something on my Facebook wall, and my girlfriend's like, who's Ashley Burns?
Who is that bitch?
Who's Ashley Burns?
Who's that bitch?
I'm going to kick her ass.
How do you know Ashley? Who's Ashley?
Dear Frotsters, I know it was a couple weeks ago that you asked for awkwardly laughing in movie stories, but I thought I'd send it in anyway since it's about Drive. Yesterday, I dragged my boyfriend to see it with me, and we ended up in a theater full of chicks with their boyfriends who obviously didn't know what to expect from the movie. The girl behind me talked through the entire first half of the movie about how amazing Baby Goose was, but my awkward laughing came right after he stomped that guy's head in the elevator, and then he just stared at that chick for like a minute. I thought the staring was pretty funny, but I was also laughing because at that part I heard the girl behind me yelp and then drag her date out of the movie theater while complaining about how gross it was. Personally, my favorite part was when Christina Hendricks got her head blown off. I think there's something magical about a shotgun headshot. Fraud on, Molly.
Huh.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We had much the same experience.
Yeah, we certainly did. They went in expecting like him to read the notebook, or I don't even know how the notebook works, but similar to the notebook with a car.
I think they write the notebook, or no, he leaves the notebook and then she finds it years later.
He rubs
she's
the
married.
Notebook against his genitals, I think.
Yeah, he wipes his butt with the notebook.
No, he puts a...
He presses leaves in between pages.
No, he presses leaves and flowers and he writes love notes, and then he wraps the notebook in a bandana and he ties it around Patch's neck. And then he sends Patches to the girl like a carrier dog.
Is this true?
No, I don't know. I just made that up.
I never saw it.
I never did either.
Oh.
I don't think Patches is even his dog's real name, but that's what we named it.
You liar.
You don't lie to me about shit like that.
He just seems like a guy that have a dog named Patches. I'm sorry.
The guy in the movie or Baby Goose?
Baby Goose.
Yeah. Well, I think he's got a couple dogs.
The semi-fictional Baby Goose that we've created,
I think. When he goes to the rescue, he can't not take one home, you guys.
Come on. It's Baby Goose we're talking
he's
about.
He's got a lot of dogs.
They're just all... There's a bunch of cats drinking milk from saucers. Jay Tim Mike. He describes his name that he describes himself as. Jay Tim Mike. Sends in all this talk of narrowing slash shaving your balls slash Grundle, and not once have any of you mentioned the gold bond method. A palm full of gold bond spread to your undercarriage will A, prevent swamp nuts, but B, keep the area smelling good all day. The added benefit is that gold bond tingles, so you get a good feeling when you're keeping your bag dry. Only sad part is that eventually this tingling sensation wears off, and much like a junkie, you have to upgrade to stronger stuff like gold bond extra strength. I just want to point out that the gold bond, I've done the gold bond, which is nice. It's like a cool breeze blowing on your nuts, but that does not help if you shave your taint dry. That the
hold
no
on,
amount.
Hold
of,
on, let's back up. If you nair your butthole,
that's
dry.
True. Okay, if you nair your butthole and taint hairless, no amount of baby powder is going to keep that unslimified. It's going to get slimed no matter what you do.
I've gold bonded. It is, it's a nice touch.
You're gold bound?
I've gold bound. I've been gold bound. And it's a nice touch.
He's gold bonded. Yeah. He's gold licensed.
You have a
bonded
cousin named
insured.
Gold bound, don't you?
Gold bound, yeah. They're the
Heim gold bound.
Yeah. They're the heirs. Heim in Israel, gold bound. They're the heirs to the gold bound fortune. It's a nice touch every once in a while, but it's certainly not a permanent fix. And it's nothing that is going to, if I don't know. I have not had a, basically, there's no cure for a sweaty butt.
Yeah, swamp butt. Swamp butt is real. The power of swamp butt.
And it's not, you can't slap some powder on there and just have it disappear.
Gold bond is pretty crucial in football. You just dump that bottle down in front of your pants.
Pre-game?
Pre-practice, usually.
What would that, why?
It almost feels, even though
when
it's
dry. When you're going to sweat that much, what's
but the... But when it's because there's a lot, like you got like the compression shorts on and then you got the pads and like, I don't know, a lot of times it can chafe.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of helps lubricate in a dry way.
All right.
I don't know why.
Right.
It's interesting. It actually feels like it's everything's moving so well down
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
It actually feels like there's some moisture. In
it's
a
like,
good way?
It's like when you need to shoot pool and you got to put a little powder on your hand so you can move the pool cue
back
and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like little microscopic ball bearings. That's how I describe it.
You describe yourself as having microscopic
like,
ball bearings?
Or it's like pool chalk Burn. For your balls.
Yes. Pool chalk for your balls.
Let's go with that.
But it is true. If you haven't gold bonded, been gold bound, I would at least try it out. But it's definitely not. It's not a cure-all.
What I'm trying to say, ladies, is that my nutsack is blue. Call me.
All right. Well, we have now blooped in Laramie from film.com, and him and Vince are going to robot fight.
Oh, he's fresh off of the robot boat. You just got back from the screening,
Wait,
did
so
you not?
Laramie, sorry. Before you get into the movie itself, are this? I've been to some screenings with Vince here in San Francisco. Are the ones in the Great White North similar in that they confiscate your phone and then have the worst way to give it back to you, which is yelling out random numbers?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of homeless people. Nice.
So that's a world or at least a nationwide screening phenomenon where they let in basically any crackhead hobo off the street.
Where do they find the homeless people, by the way? It's I had to network pretty hard to get on all the lists like of press screenings. And then you go in there and it's just like clearly people they found at a halfway house.
Just looking for a warm place to stay for a couple hours. Yeah, it's like comic book shops and newspapers and you find passes on there. But there's like a hobo network too. Like they're networking just as hard as you, just not through official channels.
True.
You know what I mean?
No, they're old school. They
got to hustle.
Yep, that's just that's word on the street, literally.
I sat, all right, so this last one for Real Steel, I was sitting next to, I don't want to stereotype because like in my row, there was a whole black family being perfectly quiet and perfectly respectful. And then there was
you tell us what sort of race you think this family was.
Yeah. And then there's two women behind me with
Asians.
There's two women behind me with their kids, and it was like these women, like they hadn't seen each other all week. This was just like their way to get out of the house and like go talk to each other.
Hey, girl, there's a free movie down at the Movieplex.
Because they were just like, I kind of like when I'm watching a bad movie, I kind of like hearing people shout things. But when it's just like a low murmur and you can't even hear what they're saying, it's like the most obnoxious thing.
Yo, if you're gonna like, make jokes, speak up.
Yeah, exactly. Like I either make a joke that I can hear or don't talk.
Just text each other or call each other.
Steeled.
There was at one point, like in the climactic scene, you know, there's the big bad robot. His name's Zeus.
Yeah, yes.
There, you know, they had like a climactic scene, and it got quiet for a second, and some hipster in the front row was like, "Fuck you, Zeus."
That is classic.
It was pretty good. But so then I
know you don't care about spoiling, right? You're pro spoiler.
No, not at all. I wanted to say quickly, though, that I moved away from the loud family, and then I moved up to the front, and I sat next to a Chinese retarded man who was, like, I could hear him breathing.
Was he dressed like a robot?
No, he was dressed like a retarded guy. And
what's that mean? Was he wearing a helmet?
He was clapping and breathing loudly a lot.
Really?
Yeah. He had one
was
of those,
he like Simple Jack?
I think he had one of those thick, retarded person tongues where it's hard to breathe past.
You hate to see that.
Yeah, it's rough.
Evidently, technical knockouts don't exist in the year 2020 in robot boxing.
Ironically, it should exist.
You'd think so. Three knockdowns. That's a TKO, friends.
Maybe a digital?
Maybe a technological knockout.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Sorry.
Also, what crackheads were scoring that fight? Because I had it about 83-7.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Did they win by decision?
Well, first of all, give us your thoughts on the movie as a whole before we get into specifics.
I just admire that they tried so hard to make something so unbelievably cheesy. Like, just massively cheesy. Like, I think 10-year-olds will think it's great.
You think they tried and succeeded in making it just a big cheese ball?
But, like, they do, like, right off the bat. You know what I mean? They just start copping a feel. Like, they throw the string music on, and they're like, "You'll never be anything!" You know, like, that kind of stuff.
Well, I did not see it, but from the trailer, I was already disappointed that the 10- or 11-year-old kid was basically, like, the second leading actor in it. And so, immediately, I said, yeah, this is going to suck.
And he also looks very much like Jake Lloyd from episode one.
Now my question is: there's a long tradition of the kid
fight for me.
That was at the end. I would say for the first 20-25 minutes, I was actually shocked and disturbed because it worked. I thought the first 20-25 minutes worked really well. Where I was like, "Wow, is this actually going to be a good movie? Am I going to have to write a good review of the fucking
steel?
Of the fucking robot boxing movie that the guy said, in a world of steel boxers, there's so much heart in this movie," and blah, blah, blah. You know, he gave like one of the worst PR quotes I've ever heard. And so, and that was from like 2 years ago where I was like, wow, everybody involved in making this movie is the biggest cheese dick alive. And then the first 20 minutes were pretty good. You're like, oh, so they're in the future and robots are boxing and I don't know. It's kind of cool. And it was exactly like over the top, first of all. But the only difference is Hugh Jackman was a dick who tried to sell his kid. And instead of the son.
Really?
Yeah. And instead of being like
slavery?
And instead of being like an effeminate pussy, the son gets obnoxious later. But at first, he's just kind of like a prickish little 11-year-old. Like, they're both kind of dicks.
Taking after Wolverine.
Yeah, basically. Like, the dad's kind of a dick, and the son is kind of like this snot-nosed dick. And I appreciated it. and then all of a sudden, he starts teaching the robot to dance. Like he's doing all the Xbox Kinect dances, teaching the robot, and then they make it like a thing. And then it got pretty terrible after that.
Was it better or worse than Robot Jocks?
It's been a long time since I've seen Robot Jocks.
What was that?
I don't remember. I'm actually looking it up on Wikipedia.
Robot Jocks was where it was in the future.
Remember it?
It was in the future, and they had abolished war, where instead of fighting a war, your country would have a robot jock, and he would fight another country's robot jock, and whoever won would win, like, whatever the war was.
Oh, it was also really clear the stuff they had CGI budget for and the stuff they didn't. They're like, we can do one phone, we can make one computer by HP, and then we got the robots, and then we can dress one woman in a silver bikini, and that's it. That's all the futuristic nods we can give.
Yeah, the ring girl, the robot ring girl. That was good.
Everything else will be the same.
Did Cletus make a cameo?
He might as well have.
Oh, so I'm looking it up on Wikipedia. This is topical. One of the robot jocks, who are the people who pilot the robots, his name is Achilles. Nice. And he has to fight the Confederation, which is the Russians, Alexander.
My favorite robot fight in Real Steel was when he goes to the zoo and he fights the Mohawk guy's robot.
So is this a rogue?
The meth robot people?
Is this like a black or a behind-the-scenes robot fight?
Well, here's the thing. The robot has got to work his way up. You don't just start at the URFC or whatever it's called.
World boxing or world robot boxing, dude. Come on.
Yeah,
the WRB.
You don't start at the WRB. You start in the minor leagues fighting meth heads in the zoo, literally. And my favorite part of this fight is like the very first fight of the robot, the special robot that they find at the junkyard. The very first fight is at the zoo against this handler who's got a mohawk, and he's like, they're basically meth heads. And his robot is called Sledgehammer, and it has one hammer for an arm. It's all fucked up looking. And basically, Sledgehammer kicks the shit out of this robot for an entire round. When all of a sudden, the robot...
I've got to correct you. His robot's called Metro.
Metro? Okay. All right. So Metro with the sledgehammers on his hands
is fucking up
the main robot, whose name is Adam, fucking him up for the whole time. And then all of a sudden, Adam does this double uppercut thing into Metro's chin. And they're like, oh, it fucked up his circuitry. And I don't know what circuitry it fucked up, but Metro immediately takes his sledgehammer hand and starts hitting himself in the face with it until he dies.
It was a system failure. It was like on a blue screen on a Windows.
System failure. Immediately I start hitting myself with my own sledgehammer arm.
Control-Alt-deleted himself.
Yeah, he did.
He certainly did.
Oh, good times.
I would say the least effective part of that was the bad guys, where it was like out of a video game, but less actually compelling. Plotted. Yeah,
were the bad guys the robots or the robot fighters?
So
like the robot, I mean controllers.
The bad guys were actually Asians.
I'll let Laramie handle this one.
Yeah, there's the Asian designer who's a bad guy because he's designing Zeus.
Yeah, Tak Machito.
And then there's the chick. What was she? Asian as well?
She was Russian. She was Russian. There was a Russian owner. She was like the daughter of an industrialist, and she was some Russian chick. She was like some hot chick who could barely do a Russian accent, and she was supposedly the owner of this, like the most famous robot, and it was designed by Tak Machito, this Asian guy who was an equally terrible actor. And
was the robot's name Drago?
It was Zeus.
Why the robot designer's
got to be Asian?
There's
a 7-minute period where he loses custody of the kid, goes to see his ex-girlfriend, makes out, gets the kid back, gets to the big fight.
Wolverine
did, yeah. And you're like, I get that there needs to be something to overcome, but we all know he's not leaving this kid, right? He's not dropping him.
Yeah.
So let's just get on with it.
The whole ending part was very much in fast forward.
So how do they leave it? Are they now the stars of the WRB?
Well, he actually loses the fight to the movie's credit.
By decision, yes. God damn it, Skype.
No, I think it's okay.
Okay.
Nobody move.
All right, we got it. Yeah, we got it. We fixed. I will say this. Hugh Jackman is a handsome man. Very handsome man. He looks great. I don't know how old he is, but it looks pretty good.
Is that why you have so many photoshopped pictures of strapping naked men with his picture on it around your room?
Well, one of the reasons.
He's a handsome man.
He needs to do a movie where he's a firefighter. Am I right, Vince? And just a hose over his shoulder
just
kind of thing?
Squirt me with hose. Just shoot me with his fire hose. I got a fire you can put out.
So many fires?
Yeah, him and Evangeline Lilly, Kate from Lost, are both pretty attractive. We'll
see.
Is
she
that.
In this as well?
She's hot.
Is there any robot sex?
No.
Is there any robot genitalia?
There was not enough robot crotch punching. I feel like I was promised a robot crotch punch in the trailer.
If Michael Bay was involved, there'd be full robot junk.
For sure.
Yeah. There'd be robot
There's
balls.
Not even female robots, actually.
No, that's true. I will say this. One thing that impressed me was, you know, at least from a visual standpoint, Sean Levy is a lot better at shooting action sequences than Michael Bay is, where it wasn't just like, it wasn't just constant shaky cam where I was annoyed, where it was fucking shooting all over the place. I think that's why the first 20 minutes I actually thought it was going to be a good movie, because you could see what was going on when the robots were punching each other.
See, that's another time where I just think, I mean, this is sort of an aside, but it's too bad they can't make that 50 minutes and then have just some other random movie or whatever you pay like $6 to see that. Because when you have to drag it out for an hour and a half and you have to have the stupid retard kid, it just...
Dude, it's 2 hours. It's a two-hour movie.
Well, I think... I mean,
was it really that long? Wow.
Probably the problem is that it costs X. They're like, fuck it, let's just make it 2 hours and 10 minutes. But it's too bad they can't just make it 55 minutes and actually make it cool and fun and action-packed and not have 23 minutes of retarded plot.
Yeah. But, well, it's too bad Krispy Kreme donuts aren't low-calorie either.
But that's a complete... that has nothing to do with making movies shorter.
Nah, I know.
It's just too bad. It's just too bad that they can't do 45-minute movies and maybe go two back-to-back. I'd rather watch 2 45-minute movies, and I'm not talking Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I agree.
You know, 2 45-minute succinct movies, start to finish, rather than a 2-hour shitty one that you know is going to be shitty.
I also have to point out that the movie does look really good. I mean, it looks good throughout. I mean, it was well shot.
Yeah, it was really. Yeah, it looked really well. It looked really good.
It looked really well.
Well, I was going to say it was really well shot.
But then you didn't. But,
the one thing I do take umbrage with is, like, first of all, Hugh Jackman finds a tell in another robot, and then he has time to explain it to everybody.
To the robot?
He's going
to
hitch in his shoulder. Well, you knew that was going to happen.
And he also loses a couple of fights, Jackman does, by simply being distracted.
Yeah, the first scene's so bad. It's like, really, you're going to be distracted by a girl and you can't.
Wait, so explain a little bit. So are the fighters really important, meaning Wolverine? Is he really important to how well the robot does? Or is the robot himself actually important?
Well, that's the thing. It's very creepy because it's like they sort of hint that there's some sort of artificial intelligence in these robots, but then not, like they're fully controlled.
Because in the ads, Hugh Jackman is just shadow boxing his fucking brains out. And that's how he fights, makes the robot fight.
Yeah. They do both. It's controlled. Well, he also has there's a voice command for the robot, which is very relevant because it goes back to our UFC attribute game, where Brendan's contribution to the UFC attribute game was yells out what he's about to do. Like, if that was one of the bullet points in the graph,
that would be a really relevant attribute to know.
That's basically how it worked, where Hugh Jackman was like, right cross, left uppercut. And then he would shout like weird slangy boxing terms like front side, grandy, right upper downtown. And it was like, and
nobody would also be like, get out of there, you're getting cut up.
Yeah.
What?
Did robots get their arms punched off or anything?
Yes.
Okay, and then would they try to reattach?
No.
You're done
after that.
Huh. All
right. The weird thing...
They usually fight to the death, even though robots aren't alive.
That's the thing. I find it very creepy in the sense that...
The stakes have never been so low.
Well, also, like, the kid was really personifying himself. Like, they're really trying to make you care about this thing. They're really trying to
this inanimate object.
Yeah, exactly. They're really trying to add emotion to this thing that they're telling you over and over is an inanimate object.
They should have watched The Iron Giant.
Or AI.
It was very creepy.
Yeah. They should have watched The Iron Giant, man.
Like, they're trying hard to sell you on the idea that you can have this robot mirror image and you should protect that like you would an actual person.
The robot or the image? The robot.
The image. Like the robot, your avatar.
So,
like your avatar, like you can be attached to, you can have an emotional attachment to this thing that's not a person.
So you said you they had to go to some sort of junkyard to find a robot?
Yeah, they find him in the rain. Like, they,
so why would you not just go find a robot and just have him beat the shit out of people, like walking around? Like, just walk around and be like, are you talking shit, bro? Oh, yeah, my robot will handle this. And then you shadow box.
Yeah.
You shadow box, okay, and the robot just beats the shit out of whoever you're talking to.
In the first scene, the robot, Jackman's robot, fights a bull, a 2,000-pound steer. And yeah, he punches him in the head with his giant metal robot fist. Yeah. And this bull gets right back up, which I don't think would happen. Like,
I don't know, man. Know,
maybe it was a robot bull.
Bulls are pretty hardcore. Their heads are pretty hard.
Man, I don't know.
Don't ask me that how I know.
Like, that seemed like that would hurt.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Adam was punching with a lot of PSI right there.
I don't know if you found this creepy also, but the other aspect that I found really disturbing was I felt like there was a subplot where Hugh Jackman was basically teaching his son how to create reality show drama.
Yeah, I can see that.
Does it end with him getting cast on the next Real World?
Well, like the kid like calls it, turns into like this weird pro wrestling thing where the kid's calling out Zeus, like grabbing
them. Yeah, I'm gonna kill you, Zeus. No,
he grabs the microphone away from the announcer and is like,
God damn it,
we'll take on Zeus anytime, anywhere. And it just goes on for way too long.
We'll fight him in the zoo. Yeah. We'll fight him in a ring. We'll fight him with the meth heads. I don't care.
They never get over being fascinated by the shadow boxing thing, or like the fact that this guy just mirror images. Like, he like dances, and then the robot does the exact same thing as the kid. Right? You think you'd see this once, you'd be like, "I got it." The robot's doing the same movements as the kid. But people are fascinated by this; they're just blown away every single time. And it's like about 30 minutes of the movie. He's like, "Watch this! I can make him clap. Okay, I can make him kneel down. I can make him do this." It's like, "Yeah, I got it, dude. I can see you."
Have you ever played the dance game on Xbox Kinect?
It's basically that, yeah.
I played that like 3 months ago at my friend's house, and that's like half the movie. Like, it feels like someone watched the dance game on Xbox Kinect and were like, hey, we can make an entire, we're going to milk like 40 minutes out of this, where the kid's going to do this, and then there's going to be a robot on screen mirroring all his dance moves.
Exactly, though. Precise mirroring.
Yeah. Very important.
And so, like, I get the first 10 seconds to be like, okay, that's kind of neat. But the crowds are just enthralled by this. They've never seen anything like this.
To be fair, at the screening I was at, the crowd was full on cheering and clapping. At
really?
The yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Did they think it was real?
I think they were just so happy to be somewhere.
It's so warm in here. Don't make me go back outside.
And then I got outside and I was like, I don't know. There's this weird thing in the Tenderloin where I wonder if like they pass out heroin and everybody does it at the same time. Where like when you go walk through the Tenderloin and one person's on heroin, it seems like you see 10 people on heroin.
Because everyone's on heroin.
I don't know which drug.
No, but
on.
I mean like in the heights of their high. You know, like there's a difference when like someone is fucking itching and hurting for a fix, and then you walk through and everyone looks like they've just shot up and they're just like, ah, they're all happy and.
Yeah, I only ride
ready to fight some robots.
Basically,
yeah. I only ride through in the morning, and that's when they're waking up, getting in line at the Glide Church, and peeing on the sidewalk. So that's what I see.
Or yelling at cats to not look at them while they take dumps.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Don't look at me while I'm shitting, cat.
I also feel like the meth head fighting robots. There's no current equivalent to that, right? Like, meth heads don't run NASCAR teams, for instance. They're like, so I don't know how the meth heads got it together to build a robot that was pretty functional.
Well,
like,
because
they just do meth,
maybe UFC?
No, it's like meth heads are probably running dogfighting and cockfighting rings.
Yeah, but that's not technology.
Yeah.
You see,
well, maybe they got their hands on a good fighting robot.
They stole it.
Was this your first Sean Levy movie? Because it was my, like, I'd always had an inkling that this guy was a massive hack just based on the trailers for his movie.
What else has he done? I don't know who he is.
He did Date Night and A Night at the Museum.
Oh, my God. I just shit my pants.
And I never saw Date Night, but it looked fucking horrendous.
Well, that's the type of movie that, that's why Osama. Well,
that's why drugs exist.
Yeah, well. Date Night is better than robot fighting.
Okay, so you've seen other Sean Levy movies?
Yeah, and Night at the Museum is, you know, a nightmare, but to be expected.
That's made for kids. A moneymaker for kids.
Yes.
And it made a buttload of money.
Because this was a weird hybrid where I was actually impressed with his visual style and like the way it was shot.
Are they expecting to make a lot of money?
I'm sure they will.
Well, I know they want it to, but I mean, are they?
I don't think so. Not in September or October. Where are we? The 80s? No.
It's the 90s.
Sorry.
It's the end of the 90s, bro. The year 2000 is coming up. Your computer's going to crash.
Damn it. No, I mean, I would say, mid-20s or something? Like, I haven't looked at tracking or anything, but usually movies in October don't soar.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying total. Is this going to be one of those worldwide? Do kids around the world see movies, or is that just in America?
They're going to see this. This is going to be a wide release for sure.
I don't think the Japanese are going to see it. They're going to be upset.
Well, really? Well, why?
Yeah, because they're already beyond this. They have better. robots.
Their realistic robot designer comes off like a jerk.
What do you mean this robot doesn't combine with seven other robots to make a giant robot? This is bullshit.
This robot doesn't make a robot tentacle that fucks a girl?
What the fuck?
This is the worst GoBots movie ever.
They should do a GoBots movie.
Yes and yes.
The GoBots were a cheap knockoff of Transformers, but I will say this. I had, when I was a kid, like a big-ass GoBot, and he was the main GoBot was Leader One.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like a gray, like F-14. But I had this one. It was huge. It was like a foot tall. And he was painted up like one of the Blue Angels. It was awesome.
Here's the thing about GoBots. They were good when you were playing because, you know, Transformers had to have a gun. But GoBots could just shoot out of their fist.
That's right. That's right.
And then, you know, if you had GoBots and G.I. Joes, sometimes you could apply GoBot rules to your G.I. Joes. Yeah. Like, oh, he can just shoot out of his fist.
There were crossover opportunities.
Yeah.
GoBots were like at Walmart, and Transformers were like Toys R Us. So you knew, like, the rich kids. Like, oh, I've got the Destructicon set. Look at me.
Yeah.
You're like, whatever. I've got Leader One.
Fucking white assholes.
White Jew sons of bitches.
Question. When you guys play G.I. Joe... what rules? I mean, because some people played rules where you could just have him fly around. You know, he's like, oh, he's going over here. This guy's going over here. He's going to shoot your guy. But other people played where you actually had to, you know, you had to walk his shit around because some people freak out if you tried to, like, fly
your G.I. Joe.
Like, he doesn't have, does he have a jetpack? Because if he doesn't have a jetpack, this is just bullshit.
I don't see a jetpack on him. I'm just saying. Where is his jetpack?
The best invention was the little hole on the bottom of the foot that attached to the stub on, like, the snow cat or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And you could put, like, three guys on the side just rocking it. Right. Like, whoever thought that up was a genius.
Oh, yeah. And the tanks and the
snow
cats.
I remember there was even little, like, flat plastic squares with the peg on it that you could stick them in there. And if you were, like, in the backyard, you could stick it in the grass and they would stand up.
Oh, yeah, they would.
Yeah, so I had a bunch of those, I remember, which came in handy.
They had a real problem with scale, though. Like, if you bought that aircraft carrier, the USS Flag, I couldn't afford it.
It was 6 feet long.
Yeah, it was 6 feet long, but then, like, a regular vehicle was, like, a foot, you know?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. So I think they screwed kids out of geometry.
They did. Pretty hard. I remember I lobbied my parents so hard that we could fit it in the garage.
As did I.
The only big scene
that I ever had was the He-Man castle.
Oh, I had the He-Man castle.
Yeah, that thing was kick-ass in the trap door.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
Grayskull.
You know how He-Man would say heave-ho every time he wanted to do something, like, strong?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Like, he would just go heave-ho, heave-ho. Like,
I just remember like, the power of Grayskull.
Like, if he had, like, a giant tractor thing that got stuck in the dirt, he would have his friends come, and he'd be like, we need to pull this out. And then they'd try to pull it out, and then they couldn't. And then they just start chanting, heave ho, and then they'd pull the shit out. You remember that?
No.
All right, so one time, I think I was like two or three.
Were you high?
No, I wasn't high.
I wasn't high. I was three.
I don't know what I was doing in the bathroom, but I was in the bathroom of this restaurant, and I started yelling, heave ho, heave ho, heave ho. And like And it became this famous family story because of the entire restaurant could hear me shouting heave-ho. Hearing some kid shouting heave-ho coming from the bathroom.
Oh, I just, little Vince, either running around, trying to take a shit, whatever you were doing in there, just heave-hoing your brains out.
Heave-ho, heave-ho, heave-ho. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I kind of thought I was He-Man because I had that like super blonde hair.
Definitely some sort of descendant.
Mm-hmm.
And you were sort of into your cousin a little bit.
My cousin?
She-Ra.
No. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Was that He-Man's cousin?
I think so. Isn't that like the mythology there?
I don't know, man. Yeah. I just want to see him get it on.
Battle Cat was my jam.
He was kick-ass. That was a pretty sweet
There
animal.
Weren't a lot of characters on He-Man. It was like He-Man, Battle Cat, Man-at-Arms.
Orko.
They had a lot of weird, like, the dinosaur characters that sort of came later, but they were like...
I remember on the bad side, there's, of course, Skeletor, but then there was Trapjaw.
There was Orko was like the...
There was the Cyclone
Orko
guy.
Orko was like the wizard guy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and then there was the guy with that could spin his eye around. He had different eyes.
The scariest bad guy, and I'll stand by this, Mum-Ra, Thundercats.
I never watched Thundercats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I sort of watched Thundercats, but only in a passive sort of way.
Because the guy's named Lion-O? You think that's the gay part? That's fine.
This is the least gay
Panthro?
Part of Thundercats.
Yeah, there's pretty much everything's gay about Thundercats.
What about Cheetada?
It was basically Cats as applied for cartoons. Cats the musical.
Where do you come down on Voltron?
I had a Voltron. Actually, that's probably my baddest-ass toy. Because that was from the days when toys were still made out of, like, metal. And I remember I had the whole Voltron thing where, like, the tails would... And it actually combined
into
a full
Voltron.
I remember that. And Voltron was a really cool toy.
It was the best toy.
It was a really cool toy, but then the cartoon was not that good. No. Whereas I feel like G.I. Joe were great toys and great cartoons.
And in the movie, there's that one scene where you thought the twins said shit.
I don't remember that.
Joe Max and Zaymont?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one of them might have said shit.
You know,
sorry,
you barely beat me to that, Laramie. Like I had that like on the tip of my tongue, which is really funny.
Son of a bitch.
Joe Max and Zaymont. I remember that you had to buy them out of a catalog, and they came with like a pulley, with like a zip line thing.
No, I remember seeing them in the store. You did buy them together, though.
You had to buy them together, yeah. You had to buy Refrigerator Perry out of the catalog.
Should we name him Steve and Yvette's? No. I got a better one. Tomac and Zima. I also, so that when you hurt one,
damn
you're
it, I'm mad Taco
death,
Cat.
Babe.
Damn it,
did
I'm
they
mad.
Have like the Cheech and Chong Corsican brothers thing going where you hurt one, you hurt the other?
I think they did have something like that, yeah.
Yeah, if you hit one, the other felt it, which really leads you to wonder like who they dated. Right. You know what I mean? Like you need to be dating a hot chick,
bro.
Oh, no,
they dated twins.
Smart. Savvy choice.
Yeah. I always wonder when you see twin girls and one of them has a cool haircut and the other one's haircut looks bad. Like you wonder if that one's jealous.
Hey, what's up with your sister and her stupid haircut? That thing's stupid looking.
You know how one looks better than the other even though they're like identical twins?
Yeah.
Does the one just have to take it for the team and like, ugh, I guess I'll keep this stupid haircut just to differentiate us.
Yeah.
I have a simple rule. I just always go for the deaf one.
I go for the younger one.
Smart.
Yeah. 2 hours earlier. How far apart are they?
A lot of times they're minutes. Like
usually it's in the minutes. Mm. Not that many minutes either.
I went to college with a guy who was a twin. We didn't know he was a twin. And then one day his twin showed up to visit him. And I was like on the elevator with him. And I was like trying to talk to him. And he was just looking at me like I was fucking like I had three heads. Because... Like,
pretty awesome that you didn't know he had a twin and that you didn't know you were talking to his twin.
Well, I didn't know he had a twin, so I saw this dude on the elevator who looked exactly like him, so naturally I thought that was the dude that I knew, and this guy was just looking at me. It was like, I thought he like got amnesia or some shit. Like, I was in Memento.
You're like, listen, I got the 5 pounds of Coke and the olive oil. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do this.
Hey, I got the meth and the lube. Are you going to come to my room or not?
And this guy is looking at me all cattywampus.
Come to my coke room.
You're gonna do me in the butt. Sorry, come to my coke room.
I like Melissa Etheridge. Yeah.
Not sure that was the original version.
Well, she had to tone it down a little for Walmart. Walmart wouldn't let her sing "Come to My Coke Room."
Walmart wouldn't accept her because she's a lesbian.
All right, Laramie, we got to get rid of you because I hate you.
Oh. That's fair.
How long have we been talking for?
Three days. 3 days straight.
Jesus, I have to get to work.
All right. Good talk.
Bye-bye then.
Laramie.
See you later, Leader One.
Yeah.
Leader Out. One.
All right, you guys want to get Burnsy on the horn for a little Burnsy's Corner?
I want to bloop him in for yes. Burnsy's Corner.
Okay.
Let's bloop that mayor son of a bitch in here. Does he have songs for us this week?
Yes, sort of.
Does he have a YouTube video that doesn't even have a view yet?
Listen on and find out.
It has about 300. He has one that has 300.
Okay. I can get with that.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm beating it so hard right now.
You got Brendan in trouble.
What'd I do?
You wrote something on my wall on Facebook, and my girlfriend was like, "Who's Ashley Burns?"
I don't know who that is, but she sounds really hot, and yeah. I don't like her writing on your wall.
Yeah.
Did you say, "Oh, well, she's got huge titties"?
Yeah.
She Dude. Sucked my jeans.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me turn down this awful baseball game.
Baseball? There's baseball going on?
It's playoffs.
Oh, right.
Vince is a huge baseball fan.
Ever since the Giants are out, I was like, you tricked me into caring about baseball for a while. That's never going to happen again. You ready? You ready over there?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, great. Well, we got a question for you from a reader.
Oh, I love questions. Is it worth money?
No. Well, it depends.
All right.
Mike wants to know.
Tim Mike?
No, this is just Mike.
Mike.
I've actually met this guy before.
Mike?
He's the tallest. He's the tallest Jew I've ever met.
Did you kiss him?
No, he's too tall.
Is he taller than Dolph Shays?
Who's Dolph Shays?
Danny Shays' dad.
Who's Danny Shays?
They both played in the NBA.
Oh, okay.
Would you say like 7 feet tall?
No, he's like Brendan's height.
It's like 7'3".
Mm-hmm.
So he's not Jewish?
Mike wants to know, I want to know all of your favorite acting performances by a girl under 18. And by favorite, I mean uncomfortably sexy.
I feel like the conversation starts and ends with Natalie Portman in The Professional.
Also,
I would say that, but I would counter with... What's her nuts is hit girl.
Yeah, Chloe Moretz. I would say, okay, I'm going to put, first of all, Natalie Portman in The Professional or Natalie Portman in Beautiful Girls, because she was also another.
A temptress.
Yeah, she was also a temptress in that. And then, you know, Chloe Moretz, I got to say, pretty good in Hit Girl.
Hermione Granger.
Oh, yeah, also good.
20 for Gryffindor.
3 points for Gryffindor.
Who else is even a possibility?
I'd say I'd go with The Professional over Beautiful Girls because she was like, she had the precocious thing going.
Beautiful Girls. Yeah. She's over the hill.
She kind of had the Uma Thurman like femme fatale haircut in The Professional,
or the little girl bangs. One of the two.
One of the two. Not sure which.
Burnsy, how say you?
Yeah. What about Lolita? Who was that?
Who was that?
What's her damn name? She's only been in like one other movie ever, I think.
I never saw that movie.
I didn't
then
see that.
She doesn't
either.
Count. All right. Screw it. I didn't say that.
Wasn't Evan Rachel Wood underage in something?
13?
Oh, was that her? Yeah, okay.
What about Drew Barrymore in
Firestarter?
E.T.
E.T.
E.T. Gosh, she was hot in that.
We need to queue up that clip of Old Dirty Bastard when they ask her about Drew Barrymore, and he's like, "Who's that?" He's like, "The girl from ET." You mean the one with the bald head? he confused her with
yeah, that was her,
the alien.
That was her. Pretty freaky looking bitch.
Yeah,
he's a national treasure. We lost him too soon.
We really did. He's up there with Steve Jobs. It's
like
freestyle.
It's like 1A and 1B. They're right.
They're both visionaries.
Truly are.
There's got to be another one.
Burnsy, this is sort of your wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is your bailiwick.
What about, uh, what, Wait, was Drew Barrymore Poison Ivy?
Yeah. She was like in her 30s by then.
Then what about the crush, Alicia Silverstone?
She's 77 years old now.
yeah, she might have been. She might not have been 18. I don't. Alicia Silverstone definitely. I think it also matters where they ended up. And what, I don't think Drew Barrymore or Alicia Silverstone are that hot anymore.
What about Liv Tyler in the video for Crazy?
Well, that's even weirder because that's his own daughter.
Yeah, I know. Adds the level of
man.
Weirdness.
It's head. Did anyone hit the wall faster than Alicia Silverstone?
It's basically Clueless, and it was all downhill, huh?
Clueless, and then the
she was in that one,
the crazy, amazing, crying.
Yeah,
I don't remember which one. I just remember there was like Tripped the Saturday. What?
The trilogy.
Oh yeah.
Then there was also was she in the one where Marky Mark was the stalker?
Yeah.
That was her, right?
Was that her? No, was sorry. That? Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It was Primal Fear. And it was
not Primal Fear. Primal just Fear.
It was just Fear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they both came out the same year.
there was a mashup.
That's right. And then Ed Norton played a retarded guy.
Well, pretending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was
him and Richard Gere.
In Primal Fear with Alicia Silverstone and Marky Mark.
He played a retarded guy that fingered her on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Is this real?
It was such an
real life.
Yeah.
it was such a sophisticated metaphor too. I couldn't quite grasp it. The going up the roller coaster and then down.
I think it was called Fear Primal or something.
Yeah. Fear, comma, primal.
Yeah. Hey, want to touch your vagina?
You stay away from my daughter, retard.
Wasn't that the guy from CSI Vegas, the one, like the original CSI, right?
That you have lost me as soon as the letters CSI come out of your mouth.
He was the dad.
Hold on, Bernsey had something to say.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, what about Mina Suvari in American Beauty?
Was she underage then?
Probably. She was supposed to be.
She couldn't have been.
Oh, you know, that never happens in the movies.
That was after the first American Pie.
What about Jodie Foster and Taxi Driver?
Yeah, never been a fan, oddly.
I think that counts.
It does count for our purposes.
It helps that she's a lesbian?
I think that...
I don't know. It's a wash, I would say. She's a lesbian, but she looks like Jodie Foster.
It's a net zero, I think.
Yeah. I would say...
You guys have too high standards.
You guys probably haven't seen Super, but... and this doesn't even count because Ellen Page is like 20 or 22, but she looks like a 10-year-old boy and yet is really attractive, and it's really creepy. Like
you're attracted to her because you thought she was a young boy?
No.
Be very specific and watch your words.
That she looks,
that's what you said.
She looks like a young boy, and because of the content of the movie, manages to be very attractive to the point where you're like getting an uncomfortable boner in the theater.
Did you know it was a girl playing the part?
Yeah, but
sort of.
Yeah,
it wasn't like Boys Don't Cry.
No, she wasn't like tying a sock around her boobs or anything.
Good to know.
Which I do sometimes.
Sometimes. Every weekend.
Control socks.
He ties his purple belt around his boobs.
When all my man's ears are dirty, I got to use something. All right. Well, I think we. Sufficiently answer that question.
We've answered that question. Okay.
I sometimes like some suggestions because it's not really my specialty.
Yeah. Well, we have. I thought we could talk about Hitler because we got a couple Hitler stories this week. Here's Hank. Here's Hank Williams Jr. I'm sure you've heard this by now.
Was this on his sober tour?
He comes from country music royalty.
That's the funny thing. They're like. Hank Williams Jr. got fired from his popular gig on Monday Night Football. I'm like, they're still doing that? I don't never remembered them doing that ever.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a very long time. And two, why is Hank Williams Jr. even an authority on anything?
I don't even know how people have heard of him. Like I actually didn't know he had made any music that anyone had heard outside of the Monday Night Football song until I had to look up Matt Hughes's walk-up music from UFC, which is Country Boy Can Survive.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good song.
Yeah, I had no idea that was Hank Williams.
All Jr. My Rowdy Friends Have Settled Down. That's a good one.
Yeah.
My question is, why did they take away the two helmets smashing together. That was like the best part of Monday Night.
Where it just exploded into a ball of sparks.
Yeah.
That was a very controversial decision.
I just feel sad for Cletus because he's just this poor robot and he warms up for this game that he never gets to play.
That's Fox.
That's Fox, man.
I know it's Fox. It's still football.
But he gets to wear all sorts of different outfits. He's a robot.
He gets a pet turkey on Thanksgiving.
How long does Cletus the robot last in Real Steel? Do they just rip him apart?
Noisy Boy would kill him.
Okay.
I'm such a fan of Noisy Boy.
Yeah. Noisy Boy ended up getting beat by Midas pretty bad. Got destroyed. Really? Yeah.
No. And he's been the voice of Monday Night Football for over 20 years. But it's not all about music for this country superstar. He knows a little about politics, too. That's right.
Enjoy doesn't.
I like how usually like something goes slowly downhill. This one just hit the wall like at 100 miles an hour, like as soon as he jumped
off the cliff.
Yeah.
But why?
I have to break down.
He has not ever been the voice of Monday Night Football. I know he does the song, but they've never talked to him during the game or anything.
No.
And then he's just sitting there.
They know better.
For those of you who can't see, well, it is Fox News. So
it's Fox and Friends. It's Fox Morning Show.
I'm saying Monday Night Football knows better than to actually involve him or ask him questions.
For those of you who can't see, he might as well have a hunting rifle in the frame. He's got a baseball or a cowboy hat, baseball hat, I can't remember.
It's like a camouflage Braves hat.
No, it's University of Alabama camo hat.
There you go. Okay. And then he's wearing really dark sunglasses, and it seems like he just took about four shots of Jack.
The 2012 GOP field is country singer superstar Hank Williams Jr. Good morning to you, sir.
Hi there, guys.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm sitting here in Nashville at the little studio.
Okay. Your body language says leave you alone. Your hands are crossed.
Whatever,
you're shaking us off. Okay. Hey, since you
I'd rather be there looking at Gretchen.
Well, there you go.
Good morning to you too. Yeah. Let's just have a little intimate discussion.
Like, have you guys seen Gretchen? Because
she's unattractive.
He is not that hot.
She looks like Nancy Grace.
Yeah, she does. She looks like a younger Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace is the devil incarnate to me.
What the hell did you, Bernsey? Christ,
that was my dog.
Sure.
And right here.
Mad at my dog?
I'd love to pick your brain about politics.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Yep.
Yep.
What do you want?
Yep.
This is starting off really.
Yep. I was on my porch waiting in the square, and then they called me up, and then they said, hey, what do you think about politics? And I'm like, hey, man, I'm fucking whittling a squirrel over here. God damn.
I never voted for no Obama.
I'll start with an easy question. Who do you like in the GOP race?
Nobody.
Nobody?
You remember the golf game they had, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Remember the golf game?
Boehner.
That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know,
race
watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
No.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
it's because they let one of them black people onto them golf course, and he wasn't no caddy.
Obviously weren't the Masters. By the way, this is my first time seeing this, and I'm surprised.
Really?
Do you actually do work at work?
I have
work at work.
What the fuck? That's stupid.
Yeah, play it.
Biden and Kasich,
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
Okay.
Not hardly. In the country this shape is in?
Would that be miraculous because they didn't live at the same time?
I like that he combined.
Israel did not exist as a sovereign nation while Hitler was alive.
Yeah, I like that they combined. He combined Hitler with a modern... Yeah.
That's good.
Very
good.
For the modern.
The shape this country's in, I mean. No.
I don't understand the analogy, actually.
Well, I'm glad you don't, brother, because a lot of people do. Well, you know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
Who's the enemy?
Obama and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
That's only
the
two.
One that makes them.
So good.
That's my favorite part.
I actually applaud Fox and Friends for being somewhat normal there.
Oh, fuck them.
Well, fuck them, but still.
A bunch of bobbleheads.
Yeah, but they could still be just bobbling, heading along with him.
They could be bobbling.
They should have been. I mean, why'd they have him on if they weren't going to, like, go with him on this journey to Crazy Town?
I'm glad you don't get it, brother.
Did someone say Crazy Town?
I'm glad you don't get it, brother. Sugar. Because baby. A lot of people do get it, and they angry.
You're my honey pie, sugar, baby.
And then, of course, I kind of think the Anti-Defamation League is way worse than just about... They're like the biggest fucking Nazis ever.
Ironically.
It's true. Oh, the guy from the ADL is like, the Holocaust was a singular event in human history. And it is an insult to the memory of the millions who died as a result of Hitler's plan of mass extermination to compare the Nazi dictator to any American president. Blah, blah. It's like, no one compares things to Hitler because it was a good guy. Like, they're trying to think of the worst thing that they can think of. So, I don't know. Is there like a war on hyperbole? I don't understand what the... I don't understand what the end game there is. They always get mad about that kind of crap, and it's like
kind of a meta comment. The war on hyperbole.
Well, that's what it is. It's like, oh, don't be mad when you're trying to insult someone.
Brendan, Vince is fighting against the war on hyperbole.
I am. I'm anti.
As soon as he's done
anti-hyperbole.
As soon as he's done fighting the Wall Street war, he's going to fight the war on hyperbole.
He's the 99%.
Have you guys been to downtown recently?
No.
There's like a whole camp of hippies down there fighting against Wall Street. I don't know what that means.
I like the spirit of it, but I think we need to have some sort of policy goal other than they're rich and we're not, man.
Well, it also never helps the cause when all of the protesters are just dirty hippies like smoking out of 6-foot bongs all day. I just don't think that gives a good image for the cause.
Well, it's a sit-in.
It's a stoned-in?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
What are the protests like in Orlando, Bernsey?
They just had tonight. They had Occupy Orlando,
mm-hmm.
which is probably the dumbest thing. Like,
is this
I wish
true?
They waited till the evening to do it.
Was it at a Hooters?
We don't have a Hooters downtown.
What?
What about a Buffalo Wild Wings?
We don't have any.
What about a Kerr's Wing House?
Everything I know about Orlando is wrong.
If you guys keep asking me about wing places that we don't have downtown, I'm going to go start a protest.
Do you have a Sonic Burger or something?
Not downtown.
God.
What do they have downtown?
They have banks, and that's the enemy.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Where do the bankers eat?
Cheesecake Factory?
They get in their Mercedes and drive to Hooters.
Oh. So there's one within driving distance.
You are the 99%, Bernsey. I'd be pissed off, too.
Okay, so there was an Occupy Orlando movement. How did it go?
I don't know. It was probably just as bad. I hope they all last forever because I really love watching these people get pepper sprayed.
Oh.
Who doesn't like watching people get pepper sprayed?
It's
don't,
true.
Don't
it's
tase me,
fun.
Bro. Hold on. Let me just watch. So how did the occupation go?
Supposedly it was like 20 people.
All right. And then they went to Hooters after?
I hope. The Hooters girls got to make money.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to do a protest because I feel like, A, you need to have a specific policy goal, and that requires a mass group of people being educated about a certain policy point. It seems like it'd be really hard to organize a protest that actually gets anything done.
Yeah, but if you compare if you compare Libya and Egypt to what the people in New York are doing, like, we would be terrified of Libya and Egypt. And, like, those people up in New York are just playing hacky sack and smoking out of apples.
Well, but see, this is called first world problems. We don't have any, well, not none. We have problems, but not real problems. Like, we have a leader in charge of just fucking gunning people down for talking shit about him.
Also, it's one thing to be like, stop the war or depose Gaddafi. Like, those are very simple policy goals. Like, in this case, with Occupy Wall Street, it's like, I want the people who got bailout money to give back the bonuses and just lend the money that we lend them to lend us. And, like, it's way too...
I want some of that money. All right, well, that's enough about hippies playing hacky sack for the world or whatever.
Well, there was another Hitler story.
Oh, let's get to it.
Oh, yay.
Is it about Michael Jordan?
No, it was about our friend Lars von Trier.
Oh, did he tell? Hello, is this thing on?
Kirsten, something like that.
Kirsten, I need your mic.
he supposedly, according to him, he got questioned by the police because the French are considering pressing charges against him under under a French law against justification of war crimes.
Wait, what?
Because the
French law. Oh, you can't justify a war crime.
Yeah,
that's,
you can't.
That's a crime.
You can't say that you sympathize with Hitler. Otherwise, you'll get thrown in jail for something that you said.
So that's sympathizing against the war crime. Crime.
Yes.
All right. And
do you find that funny at all?
That the French specifically have that.
No,
as a crime?
that you've outlawed fascism to the point that you can say something and get thrown in jail for it.
It seems like we've maybe come all the way back.
We've gone
around.
Full circle.
Yeah,
I picture him going to this weird courtroom, like in the beginning of La Femme Nikita, and then someone like tries to protest their innocence, and then like they bring the hand up and slap him.
You love
the,
that slap.
The really weird French shot. I know. I'm obsessed with it.
The very, it's the high to low.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I have much to add there. I find it ironic, and it's come full circle.
Yeah, there's not much to say about it. I just wanted to hear it, Lars.
Hartmann. Which also gave me some pleasure. So I'm kind of a... Yeah.
Sir?
I
do you know what I
what
mean?
What can I say? I understand Hitler. But I think he did some wrong things. Yes, absolutely. But I can see him sitting in his bunker in the end. But there will come a point at the end of this. There will come. I will. No, I'm just saying that I understand. I think I understand the man. You would call a good guy, but I. Yeah, I understand much about him, and I sympathize with him a little bit. Yes, not. But come on, I'm not for the Second World War, and I'm not against Jews. Susanne Bier is no, not even Susanne Bier. That was also a joke. I am, of course.
Are there any Jews
very
here?
Very much for Jews.
Are
no,
there any Jews
much,
here? If they
Israel
all stand up,
seize
them.
Still. How can I get out of this sentence?
By another question.
I am
what is the deal with bunker rations? I mean, come on.
Is it hot in here? It's like an oven.
I was just like, get into the shower. It's definitely a real shower. Is this on? I don't think my mic's working.
Hello? Does this handkerchief smell like Zyklon B to you? Didn't we use that? I think I used that one before.
Probably.
I think I need another new mic.
We have, what, 80 Frotcasts? I'm probably repeated several jokes.
Well, for every...
Oh, man, there's so many. There's at least 6 million Holocaust jokes.
For every Frotcast quote, you never remember saying it.
Or 2 million, depending on who you ask.
Yeah.
Or zero.
Yeah. Well, 6 million might be greatly overstated.
Some white people think it's not funny at all.
Who knew?
And
yeah, but they're all up in New York right now.
And Middle Easterns.
All right, Bernsey, I want to step into your corner.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What do you have for us this week?
What do you want to go with? I got some good stuff. I got...
You have a retarded girl talking about her period.
That girl's phenomenal. You watch her mouth when you talk about her. She's
where do you find... How are there all these stars of YouTube where they just talk to the camera about nothing?
I don't know. And this girl,
she has one video called "My Top 5 Favorite Perfumes," and it has 20,000 views.
Bernsey, have you seen that little fat kid who's like 11 that just eats junk food and rates it? And basically, everything's
no,
really good.
But he sounds awesome.
He basically eats like some new type of potato chip and has like a whole mouthful of them. He's like, "That's pretty good," and that's like the whole video. There's one where he reviews peanut butter Reese's peanut butter cups. It's like, yeah, no shit, they're pretty good.
That sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, you just. All right,
sorry. Let's. I didn't mean to interrupt.
All right, so wait, how many views? I always like to know how many views.
This one has 302, which could be. It probably has like 1,000, but that's just like the number.
When was it posted?
It was posted today.
Ooh, so already 300.
It actually has more likes and dislikes than it has views. So clearly, like, there's a lot more views than it's.
I don't even know how that works.
Like on the first day, it'll have like 311 or 302 views before it updates.
And then tomorrow it'll be like 200,000.
Well, probably be like
200 or
her her videos all seem to have in the 20,000 range.
Huh.
Which is mind-boggling if you've watched one of them.
A bigger push. She's being opened up to a much bigger audience.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get her into the six figures now.
Her name is Blonde Sundoll 4 MJ.
Ooh.
She looks like a grown-up version of Eden Wood.
She's Eden. It's awesome.
So, I woke up today with my period. Yuck, I hate getting my period. I never feel sexy for like a week. It's just awful. Like, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. And it's like, you know what? It's time to get my sexy back, and I discovered a few tips that are helping me.
Quick side note. Have you ever hung out with one of these people who makes every statement they make seem like it's super dramatic, or they like laugh at themselves, and then like you're talking to them and they'll say something dumb, but they're so high energy that they're like laughing at everything they say. So then you feel awkward because you're like obligated to laugh with them at these things that they say that aren't funny, or like they seem self-shocked by.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't usually laugh. I just walk away slowly.
But don't you get that awkward feeling where they're like, "Oh my god, I was doing this and blah blah," and you just sit there with a look on your face like,
"Yeah,
I
want to leave this conversation."
It's weird that you put coins in the laundry machine, but I don't know why that warrants laughter on your part.
Well, I didn't know if I had enough coins.
Yes, yeah, something like that. She seems like one of those.
Put her on Facebook. They got her on Facebook?
I don't know how that works.
I'll keep it real.
My sexy back, and I discovered a few tips that are helping me do this. So I'm going to share them with y'all, okay? Okay. So, first step. Okay, who says you have to wear thongs to be sexy? You know what is sexy on your period? Wearing period underwear. Right here.
Is that a diaper?
Suck in that belly with some period underwear. Ooh, I feel so sexy in it. And if you have cramps...
I'm confused because she's saying the way to feel sexy is to wear horrible underwear. I mean, I understand if it's the way to feel comfortable.
Well, she's claiming this is how you feel sexy. Is it bad that I've gotten to the point where when girls like that talk and they don't get naked, it's just like, I've seen too many videos.
Such a disappointment.
Yeah. It's like, I've seen so too many videos that are very similar to this.
You are useless to the world.
But then, and then at some point, a vibrator comes out. And
yeah. At some point, some guy puts her head in the toilet and has his way with
it. I'm waiting for shit to get real. Is this as real as it gets?
Do a little model pose. Ooh, it cramps. Sexy. Ooh. Oh, these cramps. Oh. So sexy. Same thing if you have a headache. Oh, my head. Oof. It still makes you feel sexy. And you're still taking care of your problem.
Okay, so it may make her feel sexy.
No, you haven't solved anything.
I'm kind of like, whatever. That's just a little fun. Whatever. Okay, now, tampons are kind of like boring, right? They're not really fun, and they're definitely not sexy.
Try a glampon.
She's got
glitter.
She may be feeling sexy. I want to feel like I want to either strangle her, a hobo, or punch my fist through a wall.
I really wish someone would choke her unconscious.
If someone came in right in the middle of this, that would be a good video. Just choke her out.
You can make them sexy. And so when your man is like, "Oh, baby, you got your period. I don't think so." You're like, "Really? Well, let me just go fix that problem."
I do say that.
As I put my tampon in. Ooh.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's so unattractive.
She's got a tampon in her mouth now.
Ew. Hey, that's not sexy.
Also, all right. As far as any porn goes, I still don't understand the move where they put the dildo in their mouth or they put the vibrator in their mouth and they start blowing it. Like who's getting pleasure out of this? Like, do you think
someone,
I just get off? I don't just get off watching you put cylindrical things in
with
your mouth.
Girls spitting, like hawking loogies into other guys' mouths. And I'm like, what?
At least that's a fluid exchange.
Like a loogie into your mouth?
Okay, but that's better.
I don't like the spitting into the butt trend that's been going on.
I don't like any spitting. I don't like
right
any
into,
spitting.
Like a loogie into the butthole.
Yeah.
What is that all about?
Like where the guy's like, "Oh, baby, you're so hot." And then he just like spits right into her butt. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. But it's always like a loogie, basically. It's like the spit that you could suck back in when it's like 24 inches away from your mouth. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm just going to hawk loogies right into your butt crack." What is going on? Next video, please.
Burns, are you into that?
No, not one bit.
I've never met a person who's into that.
It's got to be dry.
Fair
point.
It's like sandpaper.
Fair point.
Or a desert.
Can we not watch any more of this?
I want to see. Does it go anywhere from here, Brinzy?
No, not really. It's just the most obnoxious thing you've ever seen.
That's sexy, right?
No.
It's all in the technique. He's going to think this thing is the sexiest thing ever. Okay.
And she just looks like one of those Arizona State girls where they're all like sort of blonde and fake boobed with hair extensions. With big hair, but she's one of those ones that's not quite great at it. Like she's
not super hot, but definitely everyone tells her she should be a model.
Yeah, like she's just sort of passable at looking like...
She's attractive, but she's not...
She's a drunk seven, and if you woke up next to it, you'd cry.
That's true.
Well, especially when she had a tampon in her mouth.
Is that sexy?
That's sexy,
baby.
Isn't that sexy? Sexy.
Is she friends with what's her face?
Yeah, the Mexican porn star.
No, not Lupe.
Come on, Lupe. Oh, Jessie Jane?
Jessie Jane, yeah. Is she friends with Jessie Jane?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it really does.
Maybe she goes to the Jessie Jane School of Talking.
Oh, my God. I don't ever want to go to that school.
Oh, my God. Let's put a tampon in your mouth and feel so sexy.
What's the class size like there? That would be... Oh, man.
All right, Burnsy. You made me almost... strangle a hobo.
Okay, now here's a crazy couple. Evan Seinfeld and Lil Big Winter.
Oh, yes. Can you list a Wicked Pictures contract star?
Yeah. Thought we needed a small Jessie Jane clip.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so terrible.
They must be related. Her and Tampon Girl.
Tampon Girl's an American hero.
I feel like this one's a little more visual, this Guns N' Roses.
It's all about his voice.
Does Axl still have cornrows?
I didn't think he sounded that bad, but we'll listen.
Josh Fries isn't drumming for him anymore?
Doesn't look like it. I had an idea for a fake behind the music about Guns N' Roses that just ends with Axl Rose playing drum like with one of those one-man band machines in a room full of mirrors screaming, "You're out of the band, you're out of the band." So far, so good. I believe this is Mr. Brownstone. As far as bands with only one good album go, I feel like Sex Pistols Guns N' Roses is up there with the Sex Pistols.
Appetite for Destruction is fucking kick ass.
Actually, I love amazing. Lies.
Use Your Illusion was good.
I love Lies in both Use Your Illusion.
I think if you combine Use Your Illusion into one album.
Super album?
Yeah, without the shitty songs, it would be great.
Yes, I would agree.
Not bad so far, but he does look like the man in the yellow hat from Curious George.
Curious George.
It might be the combination, but I think he sounds like absolute crap.
We're gonna stay around 9. Get on the bus about 11. Sipping a drink and feeling fine.
It's pretty bad when he's dancing around like Mick Jagger and he looks like a pedophile that just jumped out of a van.
And he's out of breath.
He looks like Paddington Bear.
he does.
What was Curious George's The Man in
the Yellow Hat?
Yeah, that was it, though? Wasn't like Mr.
No.
Was it Mr. Brownstone?
So let's hear the hook.
That's it.
He's definitely out of breath.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
It's funny, like, you hear stories about rock stars, and usually they're they're cool, even if it's stories of great hubris. Like, you're like, oh, that was pretty cool. But every story you hear about Guns N' Roses or Axl Rose, you're kind of just like, man, what an asshole. What the fuck's up
he
with that
like
guy?
He sounds like the biggest dick of all time.
He does. He just sounds like the...
Like, he doesn't even like to have fun. He just likes to yell at people and complain. And that's what it sounds like.
Everything I've ever heard about him was just like, oh, yeah, he showed up. Yeah, if you booked him for a photo shoot, expect him like 6 hours late.
Yeah.
And to tell you to fuck yourself when he got there.
Yeah, he's going to show up really late. He's going to start breaking things. And then he's probably going to leave before you can get a picture. So be ready for that.
Or the Metallica concert where he came out and he saw a camera and then he flipped out and went home.
Not to mention, that was when James Hetfield had gotten burnt. So they saw like three songs of Metallica. And then they saw like two songs of Guns N' Roses because Axl flipped off the stage or flipped off the crowd
rioted?
And walked on the stage. So this huge riot.
Yeah.
That's very metal, by the way.
Yeah.
Rioting at the concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know you're a dick when even Metallica, everybody in Metallica thinks you're a dick.
Yeah.
Those guys are the biggest dicks ever.
They're kind of, but it's funny because Guns N' Roses are just abrasive dicks. Where
well,
like,
but it turned out it was just Axl, though.
Yeah, pretty
Slash
much.
Slash seems like he just is pretty chill.
Yeah, everybody else seems pretty cool.
Steven Adler is a fucking super crazy drug addict.
Yeah.
If you he's been on Celebrity
Rehab. But nice.
Not really, actually. He's a really bad.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Has he been on Celebrity Rehab?
Twice. And he was in Sober House, and he got kicked out of Sober House because he was smoking heroin in the bathroom.
Wow.
Yeah. He snuck heroin in. Well, it was, I mean, it was, you know, it's sad to see people that are just like such crazy drug addicts.
That is. He's got like half his body paralyzed because
he almost died.
He had a stroke from doing too much cocaine.
Yeah, it was like a speedball-induced stroke. Jesus.
But at that point, aren't you like, man, I really need some heroin to take the edge off this stroke.
Man, my head is killing me. My brain stopped working there for a minute. Doc, do you have any like extra heroin or something?
You have anything for this?
Yeah. He didn't seem very nice. He's very a lot of mood swings with that guy.
Does it get worse from here, Vernzy?
Yeah, because he's basically out of breath the whole time. So
I want to hear it.
Is this the first song or is this Do you know Vernzy?
What?
Do you know if this is the first song of the set or right in the middle, or do you have any idea?
I don't know. I assume it's got to be early on.
It seemed like there was a break at the beginning, like where he wouldn't.
Oh
have
yeah,
any
it's
time
like a breakdown.
Breath. I mean, because there's that whole intro part. The drummer was kind of
He's not running around. He's just standing there, like moving.
He's sort of shuffling, but he's not running.
He's doing the Axl Rose
and
shuffle.
He still has the mic with the big
white poof ball.
Who's this guitarist now, by the way?
Is it still Buckethead?
No. I don't know. He doesn't have the KFC bucket on his head anymore.
Buckethead was very briefly in the band. He's not.
He's a pretty well.
Well known, yeah. Come on, Axl. Start singing again.
He's currently hooked up to an oxygen machine. Now I'll get up with the wrong one ever. Get up on
time. I don't mind. Ain't a real motherfucker gonna kick him on down tonight. I don't know, man. I don't think he sounds that bad.
You got the lyrics wrong.
Yeah, he doesn't sound that bad. It's definitely, he changed the song a little, but I would guess Axl's also someone like, this is how the song was supposed to be originally.
Yeah. Well, you compare that to any Third Eye Blind concert, and probably sounds 10 times better.
How many of them have you been to?
What's that?
Isn't the lead singer of Third Eye Blind tone deaf?
He's notorious for being a guy who was like a pretty good producer and made most of their studio hits sound great and made a bunch of money but could not play his shit live at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know because I actually like Third Eye Blind, but I've never seen them live.
Fucking Doot 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 is a classic.
Look at this. You just driving around in your scooter?
Oh, it's I'm not ashamed to say that song is fantastic.
It's catchy at the least.
And the song off their second one where he's like, I remember the stupid things, the mood rings. Braces and the beads.
Oh, yeah.
Nickels and dimes. Yours and mine. Did you cash in on your dreams?
What was the chorus?
But
there?
I still remember the... good idea, Brick. Promise to your mother.
Yeah.
He's breaking a promise to your mother.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
That girl's like a sunburn, I would like to save. That girl is like a sunburn.
I would like to say she's like a sunburn.
Turn around and back on each other. I love it. It's like the most beautiful, super poppy, nonsensical. I love it because he just keeps writing lyrics.
Non-sequitur words.
He's the opposite of Muse, where Muse will just like hold out one phrase. Where he's just like, I'm going to fucking throw a billion words.
I don't really know Muse music at all. All I know is Vince has this look on his face. Yeah. Like he's almost shitting his pants.
I defend Muse, but because Vince just hates like one song by them that he just...
No,
like,
the reason I know it is because I listen to it and I almost love them. Like I'm so close to loving them. I think there's so many great things about them. But the singer just does that one thing where he constantly holds one word a long time, and it makes it so I can't quite enjoy it.
Dude can shred. I was listening to, they do shred.
I don't deny that.
I was listening to Stockholm Syndrome today when I was on the bus, and I was like, yeah, this guy shreds.
Yeah, that's what that bugs me. The music's so good.
He hits this harmonic after the first chorus.
Yeah. Does it sound like that?
Wah.
All right, here's a good topic. What are bands that you would think are really good except for the singer that makes it so you can't listen to it at all?
So they make good music.
Like you would be able to... I would say Metallica is one for me. I can't take James Hetfield. Never could.
Yeah, but I mean, some of their older stuff I think is pretty sweet.
First three albums?
Yeah, come on. Pretty sweet. I don't know. Does that include Kill Them All?
Okay. First three are Kill Them All, Ride the Lightning, and Master Puppets. I actually like Justice for All as well.
Justice for All is pretty good.
There's got to be a band. Oh, Scorpions are a band where I can't take because of the singing.
I would say Jane's Addiction.
Fair.
People love Tom Waits, and
yeah,
I think he's
that's a good one.
He's cool. Like there's a couple songs that I kind of dig because they're like funny or weird or whatever. But when he tries to really sing, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Dropkick, where it's like. There's times when your music sounds great, but man, you sound like a dude getting cornholed while you're singing.
Sometimes he sounds like just a burly chick. You can't really tell.
Him and the guy from Mighty Mighty Boston should just be in a room like yelling at each other for a while.
I met Dickie Barrett when I was in high school, and that guy talks the way he sings.
Yeah.
I've heard interviews with him
for more than 5 minutes.
He's on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. I've heard interviews with him that seem like they had a lot of fun. They basically just formed the band because they didn't have much else to do, and they're like, let's fucking make some music.
That's every band, though, right?
Most of them, yeah. Let's fucking make some music and do some chicks.
Can you grab me? Sorry. I'm gesturing at Ben so he can grab me.
Well, he also spoke very softly into the microphone as opposed to pulling the mic away. He said,
well, it would have just been an awkward silence if I didn't.
Can you get me a beer? Can you get me a beer?
All right, I'm excited to know what's next in Burnsy's Corner.
Speaking of Metallica.
Oh, this is not...
You don't like it?
It's great, but it's not that podcast friendly.
Okay, fine.
It's a group of 8-year-olds playing Enter Sandman.
I want to see it.
Is it a...
That does sound like crap.
But they are eight.
Guitar?
Yeah. Is there any bassist? No, that's just three guitarists on it.
I want to hear the kids sing.
The sign behind them says The Boat Monkeys, which is a very strange name for a band.
Not when you're eight.
Yeah.
Probably makes a lot of sense to them. I'm sure there's
probably
a lot.
Probably the greatest inside joke of their lives.
They'll never forget it. Dude, remember when we were in The Boat Monkeys and got so much pussy from the
from the sea?
The drummer's going to be on heroin by the time he's 10.
From the girls' beauty pageants. How old are they in those, Burnsy?
Like 6 and 7.
Booyah.
Have you judged any recently? Have you been to any?
No.
Why not?
Because I only put myself out there for the really big ones.
Be honest. Are you not allowed back for any legal reason?
No. They love me.
What is the circuit like? Like, how do you get to be a judge? I mean, I'm sure there's people that judge multiple child beauty pageants. How do you get to that point? And
it's really like a I don't want to say it's a boys club because it's not. It's like a girls club, but there are a lot of guys in it.
Is it so clicky?
It's a really tight circle. It's like hairstylists that have been around for a while and fashion designers and just.
It's a really, really tight circle.
So weird.
It's a really strange array of people.
Would you say it's just a watertight, hairless circle?
It's bleached.
Just tight as a drum.
Kind of wrinkled.
Looks kind of like a little prune.
Sort of like a water balloon knot.
Well, what is the best talent that you've ever seen at a child pageant?
I've never been to a child pageant before.
Okay, a teen pageant.
Did it involve ping pong balls?
Are there any?
No, I will say that I was.
Are there any cup stackers?
Disappointed that I've never seen magic tricks.
Yeah, that would be good. Like a comedy magician.
Yeah, like
rainbow suspenders.
That would be even more awesome.
I was thinking
pulling a rabbit out of a top hat.
Yeah.
Something that just really, like, you know, old school magic tricks that easily impress me.
I think they should switch it up. Maybe saw a rabbit in half.
That'd be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, how come no one tries that?
Fucking saw a rabbit. Get creative.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like vampires versus zombies. You just mash in genres.
Would that work,
I was going to say vampires versus zombies is very uncreative.
Why no? Well,
I don't think that would work so
it's
well.
It's not reinventing the genre. It's just mashing separate genres.
Would vampires then turn into zombies for actually drinking the zombie blood voluntarily?
Vampires are just zombies that don't decay, really.
I don't know.
They're really
zombies
just
are sort of brainless, flesh-eating creatures.
But they both are living. They're both undead creatures that survive on the flesh of the living.
It's not the flesh that the vampires need, though. It's just simply the blood.
That's true.
Just
but
saying.
It's not the flesh of the zombies only need brains.
Well, they do.
Depends what zombie rules we're playing here.
Yeah. It seems like zombies enjoy eating the entire human.
Well, zombies, you get bit by a zombie, you turn into one. Same with a vampire.
Right. No, as far as what zombies want, because I think it came into vogue in the early 80s, the zombies wanting brains,
mm-hmm.
because in the first Night of Living Dead, they were eating entrails and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it depends what zombie rules you're playing by. 28 days later, they were just like ripping people apart and eating them.
Yeah, and it's kind of up in the air whether they were even zombies or mutants.
Right, right. Or if they were just infected with the rage virus. You know? So like I said, it was slippery slope.
Yeah.
Slippery slope here.
Also, I don't know if other vampires movies did this, but I remember Lost Boys sort of, they added to the mythology that
if you just drink the blood.
No, if you bite the guy on the head, it kills them, but if you bite him on the neck, you actually turn him into a vampire.
Oh. But also,
you just had to drink the head biting? The head biting was pretty gnarly.
You just had to drink the blood, too.
In years.
Lost Boys?
Yes, it's like the 80s.
With Corey Haim and Corey Feldman?
Well, I watched Greasy Saxman when you put it on Film Drunk.
Yeah.
Both the Coreys?
Yeah.
Yeah, both.
That's true. I don't think I've seen the whole movie for a long time.
No, yeah. I haven't seen the whole movie since I was probably 12.
It's a very Santa Cruz movie. Like,
it does take place in Santa Cruz.
But, yeah, the whole thing. There's a very specific part of California that is about, and it doesn't really relate to any other.
It was a documentary, right?
But you know what I mean? I don't know. You get the feel of that. Like, it's all these weird, like, coastal hippies. There's not a lot of those other places.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're like rural coastal hippies. It's a weird intersection of different types of people.
For those of you that have not been to Santa Cruz, it's one of the few beach areas of the Bay Area, but it's sort of secluded because you have to go over this sort of windy road. I mean, it's not treacherous or anything. It's just kind of a pain in the ass more than anything. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of secluded more than any other beach community that I've ever been to in California, at least. So it's definitely more of a, if you live there, you've sort of accepted, like, I'm just going to do whatever I need to get by in this sort of cut-off world.
Yeah.
It's not Podunk. It's just there's not a lot going on there.
Yeah, my dad lives in a town like that. And as I told the story before on the Frogcast, there's like one bar in the town that's about 10 steps from his house that we hang out at.
Is that why he chose the place to live?
Yeah. Yeah, shocking.
12 steps too far. 8 steps too loud.
I don't know if that's why he chose to live there or if that's why he chose the bar. I'd say possibly the latter.
I thought you said there was one bar.
Well, within...
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Within like within a couple miles.
Within 10 steps.
Yeah.
There's one bar.
And
is this the one where they had shrooms in a backpack?
No, it was with the girl, the weird hippie girl was wearing a backpack, and we're all wondering the same thing. But my dad is a much more outgoing. I don't know. I'm not confrontational.
If there's not a microphone in front of you, you hardly say a word.
Yeah, basically that's true. And but my dad immediately is like, Hey, what's in the bag? What do you got in there? And she goes, "Oh, this is my business." And I didn't know what to think at first because my business, like, you can interpret
that a lot of different ways.
Like, my business as in none of your business.
Yeah, my fucking business, bro. Lay off.
Yeah, or my business as in I got all this weed that I just harvested that I
want to. Yeah, do you want some?
Yeah,
I got them separated into.
It's my laptop.
Yeah, yeah. But then she pulled out a collection of knit hats for infants.
Oh yeah!
How many did you pick up?
Because apparently she's like, "You want one of these?" I'm like, I don't know what I would do.
I don't know an infant.
I don't know an infant with dreadlocks that could use one of those knit hats of yours.
How are the quality though?
They looked good for knit baby hats. I don't really have a lot of
for a knit baby hat. How was it?
I don't have a lot of frame of reference, but they seemed high quality.
For what you think a knit baby hat should be.
It
would be perfect for their dreads or cornrows.
Yeah, I don't know how much it would shrink in the wash, but.
What about if you just wash it with patchouli oil?
Can you do that?
I don't know. I don't even really know what patchouli oil is.
It just smells like spicy.
I equate it with dirty hippies. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Brendan's nodding.
Yes. That's accurate. Okay.
It smells like rosemary and paprika.
And thyme.
Had a baby with sandalwood.
It's earthy.
It's a total dillweed.
I was trying to remember what that joke was, and I couldn't remember it. I was like,
thyme is a total
coriander. Coriander is a total dillweed.
Total dillweed, yeah.
All right, Burnsy, is there anything else in your corner that you have for us?
Not really. I did have a tribute song to Steve Jobs, but...
Wow, already?
I think it's too soon.
No.
Wasn't that just recorded about him?
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago, but it's from that girl who pretended like she was crying when he resigned.
Oh, yeah. We need to hear this.
Oh, yeah. So you want me to play
it's
that?
It's pretty awful. If you want to play it. I don't know.
I didn't really get this one, I'm going to be honest.
Is it better or worse than the tampon girl? Because I'm still angry.
It's worse. I didn't really get this. Is this a parody? I don't even understand.
It's a parody of Lady Gaga's You and I.
And then there's a note that says, "I am not the real I, Justine." I don't even understand. I don't even know who that is.
I don't know what's going on with that.
Bernsey, be honest.
Sure. I Justine was a girl who cried.
I've had a lot of time with the Mac around. It's been a long time since I've been in your town. The next time you won't be the CEO. You're still on the board, but we'll miss you. So I'd give anything for you to sign my Steve Jobs doll. I'll miss you as the app.
I don't get it. I don't really get it.
Yeah,
I've also never heard the original song, so
yeah, that's
no frame of reference.
It's a barrier.
I like the original song. I won't lie.
You do like it.
It's the only thing that Lady Gaga's ever done that I liked.
She can be tolerable and
rah 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 rah.
I hate that part of that song a lot. Well, yeah.
I just think she sucks because she went to the Giants game and was pouring champagne on fans from the press box.
Yeah, that was sort of a bitch move right
there. Lady Gaga was?
Yeah. She was in the press box just pouring drinks on people's heads.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's what you do when you're drunk and wealthy.
What if she, I mean, aren't there days when she just wants to go out in sweatpants?
Well, yeah, if those sweatpants have feathers and like arrows through them and she's wearing 12-inch heels and then.
It just seems like a lot of work.
A lot of work? That's an insane amount of work. I don't know that I'd ever want to wear anything like that.
Have you seen the Nick Swardson sketch where he plays her brother?
No.
Oh yeah, the cop.
He plays Gary Gaga, and he's the cop that goes out with all the funny hats on. That could have been a movie instead of Bucky Larson.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that because I was watching trailers during South Park tonight for Nick Swardson's Pretend Time, and even the trailers, I was like laughing a little bit. And that show is pretty funny. And, of course, he's amazing as Terry on Reno 911.
So good.
His stand-up's so great. Good. And then I'm just like, Bucky Larson. You got to do a couple good movies first before you, like, do the Sandler-esque bomb.
Yeah, I had a story today where it was an interview with Nick Swardson where he was, like, complaining about the critics.
I actually read that.
Where he went in, like...
I read Film Drunk today.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
But he was complaining about how critics went in to hate it. Like, they went in looking to hate it. And,
Well, first of all,
I think he's right to a certain extent. But first of all, they didn't screen it for critics, so.
But there's,
I don't know what he's talking
even
about.
Even if
there.
That movie was funny, no, it would have gotten straight D's across the board. Maybe not a zero.
Yeah.
But that type of movie, if it's funny to like, we should be the audience.
Yeah.
Because I do think just like,
well, like Your Highness got straight D's, and I thought Your Highness was pretty fucking funny.
I actually never saw it, but I'm sure most of those movies.
I don't even know the last movie I saw. Maybe the 18 well, for our first broadcast.
Jesus, man.
Jonah Hex.
Jesus, man. I'm sure even if Bucky Larson was very funny to us, which unfortunately looked terrible, that Bucky Larson character is just awful looking.
Yeah.
Oh, God, there's so many things to dislike about that character.
It's kind of like Little Nicky. Like, there was parts of Little Nicky that I laughed, but I'm like, God, he's just so obnoxious. I don't want to look at him make that face and go like,
and that voice.
Man, this is awesome. Like, it's awful.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know why. I mean, the storyline wasn't horrible for a comedic premise.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't. But all I saw was the commercials where there's a dude with a bowl cut and like horrible buck teeth. And like
it's like the Amish bowl and then around the face cut.
Yeah, it was like when Cartman was the ginger in South Park. When
or
they turn into a ginger.
Or Randy Quaid in Kingpin.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
The Amish sort of. That's what I was probably said Amish.
Yeah, basically it's like a bad comedy premise from like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's the most generic. I just don't know why they had to make him so stupid, ridiculous.
I don't even, like, for that plot to work, did you really have to make him look like the stupidest looking guy
like
ever?
Basically a mongoloid total retard. It's like, you don't need to do that. Just make him, like, shy, lonely Nick Swardson in the Midwest and then move him out and then he's just fucking everything. Without seeing the movie, I would think that would be a funny premise if it's just like him shy and then he turns into basically Mark Wahlberg, like big, huge porn star with like Be Pumper, basically, like fucking chicks with big medallions on and like cutting scenes being like, yo, cut this scene. Yo, I'm not hard enough. I need a 20-minute break. Like something like that, and then he goes back and finds his roots.
I'm not hard enough. I like that.
Like, that's a funny movie.
This bitch got pimples on her ass.
What the fuck is this shit? I need a new bitch. Get a new bitch in here. I need a stump pussy.
Bitch needs to get ass exfoliated.
Yeah. Get the exfoliator in here.
I'll tell you what I did watch.
What was that?
I haven't seen a movie in a while, but I did watch on HBO Face Off. Vince and I have talked about this a little bit offline, but that is a movie that does not hold up in any way, shape, or form. because I remember seeing it in like high school when it came out and being like, oh, this is a fun movie. And it's like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And like I was just watching it and I was just like, holy shit. Like, first of all, they got someone to – they got Nick Cage to play someone playing Nick Cage, basically.
First of all, it's John Travolta and Nick Cage, which are two of the most ridiculous actors of our time.
Exactly. And then there's the whole scene where he he's plotting to get his face back, and he's like, just a simple surgery. I'm going to take his face off. And it's like all dramatic. And then like the other people are like, face off? And he's like, face off. And it's like they keep saying it. And you're like, yes, John Woo, we get it.
Yeah. I would argue that, and I've always argued this, no John Woo movies hold up because they're all terrible.
Yeah. I will say, actually, Ben and I were talking about this. Mission Impossible 2 is just this total guilty pleasure for me. It's such a silly movie. But, yeah, I was watching Face Off. I was like, this is not watchable. This is not a watchable motion picture.
I can't take it. It's the same thing I've always hated about Boondock Saints. Like, I can take the violence, even if it's dumb. But I can't take the super postury violence or like, oh, this is just like these two guys fighting are the most important thing that's ever happened. There's going to be a white dove flying down, and there's going to be like rose petals coming down from the fucking sky.
Well, and they're very similar because there's all those scenes in Boondock Saints with the super slow-mo shootouts.
Yeah, it was the same period.
Yeah, and like the opera, like, oh, you know, like. The super dramatic.
They still do the epic opera gasps and trailers. Like, thank God the UFC is finally getting rid of theirs.
Yeah.
What was Nick Cage's name? Was it Castor?
Castor Troy. And it had a lot of 90s action movie tropes.
Do you remember his brother's name?
No.
Pollux. It was Pollux.
Pollux Troy.
Wow.
So that's such a 90s trope, too, where they have like this odd naming convention that really doesn't go anywhere.
Pollux
that has no.
Pollux
it really doesn't.
And Castor Troy.
Castor and Pollux. You know, it doesn't really have. They're like, hey, there's this thing in Roman mythology. It doesn't really have anything to do with the rest of the movie.
If you name your kids Pollux and Castor, they're born to be mastermind criminals.
Right.
Like, that is guaranteed to happen.
Well, and also they're Greek, not Roman. The Troy. They're from Troy. So that's
not even Greek. The Greeks conquered the Trojans.
Is that, well, whatever.
Yeah, fucking Achilles kicked,
that's right,
kicked Hector's ass Hector's and drug ass, him yeah. around the whole city.
Yeah.
And the Trojans are like, dude, that's not even cool. It's not even cool, bro.
It's not even cool, Castor. Troy.
Well, yeah. Anyway, it was terrible.
Did Orlando Bloom play Paris in the Troy movie?
Yeah.
It's as bad as that movie sucked. It's hard for me to imagine Paris without picturing Orlando Bloom now. Is that weird?
How often do you picture Paris?
Constantly.
I mean, multiple times a week.
It's either Paris or the witch Hecata.
Garrett Hedlund was in that movie, remember? And he was like Achilles' rent boy.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Don't remember that.
Yeah.
It's weird. There was Garrett Hedlund and then there was Chris Pine, like, sort of hit at the same time. And Chris Pine is legit, like, that guy's kind of awesome. I think he made the whole Star Trek movie pretty awesome. But Garrett Hedlund.
I don't
could
know
take him
is.
Or leave him. You like Tron, and you didn't remember the guy's name.
Oh, yeah, Tron Legacy is awesome.
He's just like this dude with this blonde dude with stupid hair. There's a lot of blonde dudes with stupid hair where you're just like, okay, cool.
So before we get too far away from Face Off, just wanted to wrap it up a little bit. Like, there's some scenes in it that are just like so laughable. I have no idea how it was ever passed off as like a good movie. Like, there's actually a scene when they do like the face switch that like you've got like John Travolta's face and it's just like cut out. It looks like someone took a plastic mold of his face and it's like floating in water. It's like, what? No.
What about the CGI stuff where they're mapping it to each other?
Yeah, yeah. And then they like explain everything with like the voice implants, but then they also kind of change bodies too, which was never fully explained. It was
yeah, all they did was like shave chest hair though. They just shaved some chest hair and one of them got fatter.
Yeah. And then there was a whole part at the end, did you watch enough
when John Travolta at like Nick Cage basically having sex with John Travolta's wife?
Right.
Yeah. That's, I don't know.
Yeah, like she wouldn't have known.
Yeah, like
part of me really wanted him to bang the daughter too.
You mean part of you, like shocking. the whole part of you, or just the downstairs sort of middle region of you? That part.
Bishop Luke.
Are those? Is that Bishop going on tour?
When it came out, and now we all did.
We all liked that movie when it came out.
I didn't.
Oh, you're lying to yourself.
I didn't like it. Sorry.
When this is done, look yourself in the mirror.
I'm telling you, in all honesty, I never liked John Woo, even when he first hit.
I thought Hard Boiled was interesting.
Hard Boiled is sweet.
And The Killer, was that the other one?
I never saw The Killer.
I think that's what it was called. His Hong Kong movies were okay, just because they were a little bit different at the time when they came out. And then Face Off was certainly enjoyable. I would never say that it's, you know, some sort of...
I mean, I don't know. I will say between... It came out in like 97, so I was like a sophomore in high school. And now, Jesus. I'm serious. I watched it last week, and I was like shitting my pants laughing. So ridiculous. Well,
we just didn't know it was a comedy when it was made.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Burnsy. Well, yo, man. It's been real.
Yeah, thanks, solid.
Thanks for letting us in your corner.
Thanks for coming into my corner, guys.
Yeah.
We like it there. It's good.
It's warm.
Everyone does.
It's warm and safe.
Special place full of special people.
Really special. Who ride the short bus with helmets.
All right. Well, suck my jeans.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, thanks, Laramie. Thanks, Burnsy. Thanks, all of you out there, for listening.
Boom.
Without Tim, Mike, Tim, and Molly, do we have any other listeners?
We'd be nothing.
Who else? I feel like we had one other listener tonight.
Well, Feckler.
Well, Feck listens.
Oh, also, I got to give a shout out to Larry.
Is he the guy that came and saw you?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, a few people came and saw me when I was in L.A., and that was pretty cool. So we don't ask for any money. We do this for free. But I will say if
you do send money, unmarked bills, non-consecutive.
If you're in a position to see me do stand-up, that's the only compensation I ask for.
Are there not a lot of drunkards in San Francisco?
Not as many as there are in L.A., I would say, it seems like. I get that impression.
Where's the hotbed?
I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of Midwest drunkards.
Huh.
You know what? You know where there's a lot of drunkards? It's Canada. There's a lot of Canadian drunkards.
Wow, but that's spread out everywhere.
Yeah, not really. There's like 5 cities in Canada.
Well, yeah.
They meet by the tree in Winnipeg, and they share film drunk stories. No, there's a lot of
Hey, you want to go down to get a six-pack of back of Molson and go down by the tree, eh? Talk about the film drunk blogging.
I don't know. I wish we could advertise more in the UK, because I feel like the British people seem to get my sense of humor pretty well from what I've
when you went on your comedy tour there, it went over well.
No, just from the I don't know, just from anecdotal evidence. I don't really know how to describe it.
All right. Well,
but. I just wanted to give that shout out.
Which is code for I have no fucking clue.
To Larry, who came wearing his film drunk shirt to the comedy show. That's pretty legit.
Larry, the film drunk guy. He's in direct.
That's not his real name, but that's his commenter name.
Oh. He's in direct competition with Larry, the cable guy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very much so.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. Frotcast@gmail.com. And thanks to Laramie and Burnsy and Brendan. Take us the fuck on out of here.
All right. Until next week, good night and good chins.